Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the India Shelter Q1 FY27 earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Renish Bhuva from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Yeah. Hi, good morning, everyone, and welcome to India Shelter Finance Q1 FY27 earnings call. On behalf of ICICI Securities, I would like to thank India Shelter management team for giving us the opportunity to host this call. Today, we have with us the entire top management team of India Shelter, represented by Mr. Rupinder Singh, MD and CEO, Mr. Ashish Gupta, CFO, Mr. Rahul Rajagopalan, Head Investor Relations. I will now hand over the call to Rupinder Ji for his opening remarks, and then we'll open the floor for Q&A. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Renish Ji. Very good morning, everyone. On behalf of the company, I extend a warm welcome to all of you. Thank you for joining us on the call today. Before we discuss our quarterly and annual performance, let me briefly touch upon the broader macroeconomic environment, the operating landscape, and some of the strategic priorities shaping our business. The Indian economy continues to remain one of the fastest-growing major economies globally, supported by strong domestic demand, healthy government capital expenditures, and improving private sector investments. Overall, on the macro front, things are looking encouraging on account of reduced impact of West Asia crisis, monsoon deficit has narrowed, rainfall deficit has been less severe than previous years of deficient rainfall, RBI maintaining a neutral stance during the recent meetings. The long-term outlook for the housing finance industry continues to remain compelling. India's mortgage penetration remains at approximately 11%-12% of GDP, significantly lower than most of developed and several emerging economies, highlighting the long runway for structural growth. Whereas technology and artificial intelligence are becoming increasingly important differentiators across financial services, AI is being institutionalized and embedded across business, credit, collections, operations, compliance, and marketing. Today, our AI initiative includes AI-enabled work assistants, AI-assisted collection voice calls, voice and chatbots in vernacular language particularly. Simultaneously, we are working on multiple different use cases to increase our AI adoption. These initiatives are aimed at improving productivity, enhancing customer experience, strengthening risk management, and enabling scalable growth while maintaining operational efficiency. Coming to our performance for the quarter, during the quarter, the company consciously transitioned to recognizing disbursements on check realization rather than check handover. This transition is aligned with strong operational controls, and the impact of same is one-time in nature. This one-time accounting change has shifted a portion of disbursement recognition across reporting periods and temporarily impacted reported quarter one financial year 27 disbursements. Reported disbursement for the quarter stood at rupees 641 crores, whereas bank clearance was around 1,040 crores, which is at par with quarter four financial year 26 and almost 36-37% higher than quarter one 26. This activity has no P&L impact as benefit of interest was already being provided to the customers. Excluding this timing impact, business trend remained as per plan with strong logins and sanctions pipeline. Against this backdrop, gross AUM grew at 24% year-on-year to rupees 11,284 crores. On the asset quality front, we witnessed an increase in Stage 3 assets to 1.5% and early delinquency buckets during the quarter. We remain watchful of the operating environment, and our collection teams continues to focus on early interventions, recoveries, and maintaining portfolio quality. We expect asset quality to stabilize around similar level at the end of quarter two and expect recovery from quarter three onward in this financial year itself. As stated earlier, the disbursement recognition methodology has no P&L impact, PAT for the quarter came in at rupees 143 crores, registering a growth of 20% year-on-year and 4% quarter-on-quarter. Return on equity for the quarter stood at 17.5%. Net worth now stands at rupees 3,353 crores. Despite the near-term moderation, our long-term strategy remains unchanged. We continue to invest in expanding our distribution, strengthening technology capabilities, deepening customer relationships, and building organizational capabilities that position us well to capture the significant opportunity in the affordable housing finance market. On that note, let me reiterate the guidance for financial year 27. Branch addition of around 40-45 for the year. Maintain spreads of more than 6% in the medium term. Credit cost of around 40-50 bps. Loan growth of around 25-30%. This is the guidance of this financial year. Now I would like to hand over the call to Ashish ji, our CFO, to take you through the financial metrics. Ashish ji, over to you.
Thanks, Rupinder ji. Good morning, friends. Let me take you through key financial numbers. During the quarter, we have disbursed 1,046 crore of funds to customer account, which is higher by 3% as compared to quarter 4 of last financial year. However, the transition of booking from handover to clearance had a one-time impact on our reported disbursement this quarter. Our gross AUM as of June 26 is 11,284 crore. Year-on-year growth in AUM is 24%. The growth was impacted by change in accounting of disbursement. However, we are confident of catching up the growth in remaining 9 months and retaining our AUM growth guidance at 25 to 30% this year. Our portfolio yield is 14.8%, stable quarter-on-quarter basis. Our quarter one disbursement yield was at 14.9%. Finance cost is stable at 8.2% on quarter-on-quarter basis. Our marginal cost of fund is also stable at 7.9% quarter-on-quarter basis. We have drawn down 172 crore from National Housing Bank in June 26 at 7.3%. Since our incremental spreads are higher than the portfolio spreads, we are confident that we will be able to maintain our portfolio spread even there is some impact on the marginal cost of fund due to ongoing macros. Our borrowing profile continued to be diversified with more than 30 counterparties. Share of NHB funding is at 16%, up by 230 basis points year-on-year basis. Average borrowing tenor is more than 8 years, which is co-terminous with the behavioral tenor of our loan assets. On liquidity side, we are comfortably placed with liquidity of more than 800 crore and undrawn sanction of more than 1500 crore. Our ALM is positive across all the buckets. Net interest income for the quarter is up by 30% on the back of growth in our AUM and 20 bps improvement in our spread year-on-year basis. Coming to OPEX, our OPEX to AUM for the quarter is 4%, down by 10 basis points year-on-year. Cost to income for the quarter is 36%. On asset quality side, stage 3 is at 1.5%, up by 30 bps due to seasonal factors. We expect resolution will start coming from Q3 onwards. Our credit cost is stable at 0.5% year-on-year basis. PCR for stage 3 asset is stable at 26%. Our total ECL is 93 crore against the regulatory threshold of 52 crore. BT out rate for the quarter is down to about 4%, down by 50 bps year-on-year basis. Our focused data-driven approach of customer retention is helping us to contain our BT out. PAT for the quarter is 143 crore, year-on-year up by 20%. If we exclude the impact of direct assignment transactions accounting, PAT growth for the year is 30%, driven by higher volume and margins. ROA for the quarter is well above 5%. ROE for the quarter is 17.5%, up by 30 bps year-on-year basis. With this, I conclude and now we can open the floor for Q&A.
Thank you. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Aman Soni with 7 Alpha Investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Aman, your voice is muffled. I would request you to use your phone on handset mode.
In case now, can you talk to
me? Yes, you can go ahead. We'll let you know.
Yes, sir. Good morning. Sir, could you please elaborate on the company adoption of conventional AI across key functions like loan disbursement, collection and recovery, and customer services and customer engagement? If conventional AI has invented, could you also share the technology partner or vendor support to these capabilities?
Aman, we are unable to hear you. Can you please use the handset?
So, is it fine now?
Yes, Aman.
Yes.
Sir, could you please elaborate on the company adoption of conventional AI across key functions like loan disbursement, collection, recovery, customer servicing and customer engagement? And if conventional AI has been implemented, could you also share the technology partner or vendor supporting of these technology capabilities and measurable benefit achievement in terms of operational efficiency, customer experience or performance?
Yeah, thank you, Aman. Though I could not get entire question from you because of that muffling in a voice, but yes, I'll try to address as much as possible what I could hear. Regarding with the partnerships, we have definitely partnership few of the AI companies, but elaborating name at this juncture is, I think, not feasible for us. I would not like to share that way, basically, unless until I have a consent from them, number one. Number two, when we talk about purchase, where the usage is, definitely we have now a large call center where most of these tools are being used there to connect customers for inbound and outbound queries and engagement with the customers. On the collection side, now whether it's a free view or post view, there are these AI tools are being used and in a vernacular language because we are spread across 15 states from north to south. So language becomes an important challenge where certain tools are actually helping us out. While sitting in Gurgaon, when you have to serve a customer in Tamil Nadu, here you don't get a resources typically on the call center side. These tools are quite effective in sourcing basically. So that's a particular utility. Plus we got a lot of leads which falls on our website and all. There again you have to immediately go back to customer instantly without keeping in mind the time gap what generally happens with call centers. There again the usage is happening around that side. So we start adopting it. Additionally, when we think of the process side, there are many operational things which AI has taken up in terms of reducing turnaround times, improving the efficiency of operational, the operational department particularly, and now we start adopting into credit. And more we go deeper into side, we will be more in position to keep giving you exactly where it is happening in coming quarters, coming times, as we keep discussing more about it. Thank you.
Understood. Thank you. That's all from my side. Thank you, sir.
The next question comes from the line of Kunal Shah with Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, thanks for taking the question. You are again confidently reiterating the AUM growth guidance of 25 to 30 odd percent. So just wanted to gauge in terms of the disbursements. Last time you had indicated that maybe if it's like say 20% plus disbursement growth, then that should help deliver like 27-28% AUM growth. So now looking at on a check realization basis, how is the disbursement growth that you are expecting? And maybe if you can just highlight in terms of the recent month's disbursement trend, that would also be helpful. Yeah.
Thank you, Kunaji, for the question. I think when we talk about the current month, we just saw the July getting over. That has been good in terms of disbursement pickup. In fact, July had a better number than the March number itself also. Around 400-ish number what we were able to disburse. In fact, check realized, I would say, in month of July. And if we continue to maintain this trend, which we are quite confident about, I think we should be in position to cross easily 20% mark in disbursement growth. And obviously 25-30% is the AUM target that we have taken for this year, which will be working towards that piece.
Okay, so 20% plus we are still retaining that despite the check realization.
Yes, yes, easily. Because check realization is just a quarter can be here and there, but not beyond that. It can easily it will get absorbed as we pass on the year, and that is the reason strategically we took a first quarter to implement that piece.
Got it. Yeah, and secondly, with respect to collection efficiency, maybe it has never been so low as 97% odd, and even on base of almost 4% 30 plus, we still saw it moving towards 5.2% odd. So if you can highlight, maybe there is definitely a seasonality, but again, on a very high base, seasonality has continued and collection efficiency got disrupted to an extent, maybe getting towards 97. So if you can highlight anything specific, yeah.
So, frankly, there are certain months where, you know, things looks little heavier in terms of such numbers around at least. But largely, we see the 1 plus number remains intact for us, particularly. There is a spike in this number. And if it's the same, happens in quarter 3 last year, where we were, you know, consciously keep maintaining it. So, I think earlier the better. So, we have now a couple of quarters to work and, you know, turn around this piece. This quarter may remain same what it has been last quarter. Though our intent is to improve on that side, but definitely quarter three is going to help into ours. There is a certain cooling period that has to go on that piece. Because the smaller set of customers has been in little pain for some time that we keep discussing even in the last 2-3 quarter calls. So I think that is a set of customers which we focus on, and that gives a better delivery for us in that piece. It's a matter of time we'll be come back to the same level what is expected and that we are getting on. And that's the reason we continue to have a guidance of this 40-50
this guy cost. Okay. Okay. So this might continue even at 97% even in the second quarter. Similar level of collection efficiency.
I won't say collection efficiency. Definitely there will be improvement in this 97. That is going to give a delivery. But when we talk about GNK number or say 30 plus number, 30 plus I believe that they will be lower than what it has been in quarter 1. But GNK may be around the same number for quarter 2 particularly.
Yeah, so that's why you mentioned maybe the resolutions would start from 3Q onwards.
Yes, 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 yes.
Okay, and lastly, in terms of the employees, so this is on the expectations of adding 40-50 odd branches through the year, wherein you have added the employees as well during the quarter, or this was like maybe strengthening the collection infrastructure as well, almost like 160-odd employees added during the quarter with no branch addition at all over past two quarter, maybe over the past quarter.
So we have the set of employees that we had, the few have gone into the collections, obviously, because in field that is a major source. And even the current branches, wherever the impact is required, because today we are operating in more than 300 branches. Even in out of that, say 30-35 branches, you add up one resource, you're going to add some 30-35 resource around that piece. So that is there. So these are the prerogative which we keep doing it. And few employees we, added into the head office when we are building the, you know, new initiatives, whether it's on our AI or tech side. So this has been a normal set of, on a base of 4,700, 4,800, these are just addition of a couple of tweaking on a positive side basically. On a branch basis, yes, we have a plan to open, and most of these branches will start coming in quarter 2, quarter 3 and beyond.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks. Thanks. And that answers all the questions. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Darshan Devra with Indvest Group. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. First of all, congrats on a decent set of results. You maintained the 17.5% ROE, ROA spreads. So, good showing on that front. So my question was really just wanted to get some clarification on this policy change regarding the recognition of disbursement. Seems that about 405 crores of disbursement was impacted due to this change in policy. Which was from check handover to check realization. So just assuming if the policy had been kept the same, is it fair to say that our AUM would have been higher by about 405 crores and hence AUM growth would have been on a YOY basis about 28% instead of the 24% which we reported?
I think there was a policy which came where you have to recognize income from the time of check handover, that came around 1.5 to 2 years back. And that time itself, we implemented check handover policy where we start realizing, we start that realization, the interest piece for us basically. But we realize in many of the cases, there is always to and fro. From our side and customer side, which check is not been, check has been handed over, but realization takes a time. And this is something which we want to cover the gap. And that's why we tweak this piece where we start recognizing, you know, from the day the check is clearing from the customer account instead of the handover. And since we understand in a mortgage, when you give the check to the customer for registration and multiple registered mortgage and all, that takes some time. So quite a big number is something which cannot be realized overnight after disbursement. So we put this mechanism to become a more transparent, fair, not only in terms of the customer, but in terms of reporting also. That was the intent around that piece. And because of which, we made this tweak around that side. So these realization is bound to come. That should, has to be part of this piece. And that has to be continuous process going forward also. And this is the reason there is a no change when we see the reported PAT around that side. So that's not going to impact first particularly. Because we from beginning only we are giving a interest, what is said, impact to the customer from day one when the handover has been given to it, basically. So, if this could have not yet been, definitely there would have been an increase of the numbers what we are thinking about. So, I would say 641 should definitely have gone much bigger than that number. Exact calculation, I don't have whether it was 350 or 375 or whatever the number we suggested there, basically. But yes, this could have been much better than around that. But that's the secondary, I believe. And going forward, what we have to see that this financial year, our disbursement growth, what we projected earlier for 20%, that's going to remain same. The AUM growth is again going to remain same between 25 to 30%. So for us, that is not a matter of worry. Our point is the operation has to be more predictive, more precise, and customers should get the best of benefit while we doing that piece. That has been objective for entire time. And if you see the July disbursement, as one of the questions has come up, that itself shows that the disbursement has recently enough to, you know, sustain that. Thank you.
Got it. That's all from my side. Thank you for the clarification.
The next question comes from the line of Umang Shah with Kotak Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good morning and thanks for taking my question. Rupinderji, I'm just taking a step back from the quarter, right? And what I'm trying to understand is how should one look at the credit quality of the business? And where I'm coming from is that since listing, every 1Q on a year-on-year basis, our 30-plus stage 2, stage 3 has steadily just gone up. So from sub 3%, we are at about 5.2%. 30 plus at this point of time. Our stage 2 plus 3 also has steadily risen over last 3 to 4 years. What looks like a steady state, and this is more importantly, this is something which has happened at a time when our book has compounded at 35% CAGR. We are now talking about much lower growth rates now. What exactly is the issue? I mean, is there any specific geography, any specific customer cohort which is playing up? Is there some deficiency in the collection mechanism? What exactly is the cause of this issue?
So we keep measuring all the parameters, what is impacting and what is the overall of impact of everything particularly. We are dealing with self-employed customers. Last 1.5, 2 years, there's a lot of news which we keep discussing, hearing, talking about it. And we have taken the cognizant care of that piece also. Today, we have, you know, more than 80% of customers which are self-employed. And that's something which is a bread and butter for entire business and working very well for us. So one side, when we see the, when you talk typically in the cohort side, the smaller ticket size definitely have an impact, but that has a both of the impact. You have to see both of the sides. One side, when we see, say, let me take a bucket size of up to 7 lakhs, as we keep discussing around that piece. There, definitely the number has been very different from what it used to be, say, 3 years back or 2 years back. So earlier used to have around 1.4, 1.45% of number, which is above 2% today. On this typical cohort. But good part is, on this cohort, you consistently maintain a best of the ROAs also, which is on, you know, you get some 16% plus yield and ROAs is much, much better on that piece. So in this cohort, we also get that there's a lot of seasonal impact which happens. rainy times, they are the one, or the seasonal times, they are the one which got impacted. But they have the tendency to cope up and reverse that very fast. This we have seen in the past also particularly. So this is the reason that we give a confidence. Our spread of connection is across these places. And they may be in a bucket, but you will never find that someone which has gone out of the control or box on that piece basically. So OnePlus almost remains same what it was a year back or what it has been a quarter back or so particularly. This is a slight jump which has come up. And I don't think that we have to read much around that piece. As we progress in the quarter, you will actually find the realization coming from this set of customers also basically. So since you asked for these cohorts, around 15-20% of customers for us is around that bucket range of 7-8 lakhs. And these are the customers. There is a small spike around that piece since you talk a particular data point. But yes, we are pretty confident because we have practically the same customer from last 10-12 years. And we know when the recovery comes very fast, giving all the important things including with charges, interest charges and everything around that piece.
I'm sorry to harp a little more on this, right? Unfortunately, we don't see the OnePlus data, right? So whatever data we are seeing, we are trying to analyze
Absolutely.
Is that.
Absolutely.
And that data clearly showing a deteriorating trend. Also, the comment that you're making about the lower ticket size segment, I mean, the proportion of sub 10 lakhs AUM continues to remain the same, right? I mean, it has been about 45-50% for last 3-4 years. So I'm still unable to understand that if the share of that book has not increased, or rather in this quarter it has gone down to 46, we were at about 50-odd% last year, but still on an overall book basis, the stress appears to be inching up, right? So then there has to be something more than just the lower ticket size cohort. That is what I'm trying to understand.
So I think when we talk about certain cohorts, first of all, we don't want to leave this space. That is a very clear. It is not something, there may be gap of 2-3% because of the inflation, what you're talking about, 50 has come down to 46 or something that way. But this is a cohort which gives the best of output for us particularly. And we know that eventually we get a result from that piece. So quarter three last year was bad, but quarter four you see that as the PC get matured, things start coming back, we were able to get the numbers, whatever we planned on that piece. So same way when someone asked like how going to be this quarter, I said this is a cooling period. This quarter you'll find the number remains same around that phase, and next quarter number will start getting the result around that piece. So I think this has been there. We talk about cohort, we talk about ticket size, we talk about what yield we get there, we talk about what are the numbers, what is there, and we talk about how the progress is going to happen in this piece particularly.
So then a related question out here is then how confident are we to hold on to our credit cost at about 50 basis points, right? So see, I mean, our stage 2 plus stage 3 numbers are now by far the highest that we are seeing in the last 4 years. And our overall ECL provision on the balance sheet still remains sub 1%. Technically, then this number has to inch up, right? Because I mean, if as a business we take a call to stick to this particular cohort, which is relatively largely volatile, and vulnerable as well, which means then higher cushions have to be built into the balance sheet, right? I mean, in the fourth quarter we did see a strong pullback in 30 plus, and that has completely gotten reversed in the first quarter. So, do we intend to build any buffers on the balance sheet? Or we'll just hold on to this credit cost, and I'm not too sure whether we would be able to hold on to this 50 basis point credit cost or not.
I think we are confident of building this 50 bps of credit cost, number one. LGD is in this category also still very low, if you talk about. And that is the reason we always take a management approval and slowly keep building around that side. But yes, I think that is not a point of concern that we can go across that piece, because the mechanism has also been set to deal with this set of customers. So with 1,000 collection employees spread across 300 plus branches, this is a mechanism that has been built around this. And on seasonality sector, even at whatever is going on, it's our intent to bring it up, and we keep doing that activity regularly.
The other point which I wanted to talk about is on the growth part, right? I'm glad that we have reiterated our guidance of 25% to 30% sort of growth rates, but to the point what Kunal was mentioning, the ask rate in terms of growth for the rest of the year, even at 25% AUM growth looks relatively higher. I'm not too sure whether the management is even aspiring for higher than 25%, but if the management is doing that, then in that case, clearly the ask rate for the rest of the year will be even higher, especially under the new mechanism of calculating disbursements. So how confident are we that we would be able to deliver a 25% plus sort of AUM growth this year?
So as we see how the secularization process has been being, it was the first month, and we have seen the output in that piece internally. And on basis of that, that confidence is getting built. If we see the trend of either there is a drying up in terms of login sanction, it is not the case out here particularly. As we see our mechanism in terms of output that we do day in day out activity, that is giving the confidence around that piece. When we see the AUM growth particularly of this quarter itself, when you talk about quarter one phase, I'm just giving an instance, this 24% is also without even considering what has been a part of that piece basically. If you keep adding that, you can get the easily what the number you're talking about. And then next three quarters, we are quite confident, poised around that piece, because that's a number which is, what we are seeing current day in day out. Someone asked about the July number, that has been around 400 fish basically. And July is generally rainy season. And that time, most of the companies, they always, not able to reach that number. But those efficiencies already been built and they start bringing it on that side. So I don't see any reason that in coming times when seasonality sector will be more positive and giving more output, will not be able to do that piece.
Well, I appreciate that, but as I said, looking at the trends with your peers and what is generally happening in the industry, clearly the outcomes in this quarter appear to be a bit more divergent, both on asset quality and growth. I just hope that things tend to improve from second quarter onwards. Thank you, and wish you all the best.
Thank you, Mang, and that was prerogative. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Nilesh with Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead. Nilesh, please go ahead with your question and kindly unmute your line in case if you are on mute. Since there's no response from the participant, we'll move to the next participant, that is Akhil Gulecha with Hornbill Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, Rupinderji. Good morning. My first question is just to understand the AUM growth. So there's some little confusion here on your Q1 FY26 number. So the number that you have reported in your current investor presentation is 9,120 crores, which shows a 24% growth. But the number reported in your Q1 FY26 investor presentation was 8,700 crores, which shows around 30% AUM growth. So what is the correct number for Q1 FY26?
So that is the gap between the gross AUM and the net AUM. So what we do is that, we have a book of about 450 odd crore in terms of co-lending that we done, in last 3 years. So that is the gap. So we don't used to report that as a part of AUM because, we have originated that book as a part of co-lending arrangement, wherein the 80% share used to remain on the bank balance sheet. But later on, as per the industry practice, we realized that everybody is reporting that as a part of AUM. So now we have started from March 2026, we are now reporting it as a gross AUM part. So that will be a difference you might be referring.
Got it. So it's actually 24% is the right number to look at.
Yeah.
Got it. Thank you so much. And on your disbursement, so even if I account for the check handover changes, your disbursements have grown 18%, which is significantly lower than all your peers this quarter who are growing above 30-40% on a much higher base. So what happened this quarter? It's also that you have no branch additions this quarter when you're guiding for 40-50 branch additions for the whole year. So can you just run us through why this happened?
I think every year we keep changing the strategies when it's about the branch opening particularly. So 2 years back, we opened most of the branches in first quarter. Last year, it was spread across, you know, 4 quarters. This year, on keeping the target that we internally driving it, we make it skipping the first and you know, starting from the quarter two particularly. This has been the plan basically. That we keep doing, keeping in mind our internal operational expectations from the team down the line. And this what we keep even mentioning during our calls, that every year we'll keep changing around that mechanism. But yes, adding 40-45 branches is always a prerogative. We'll bring this year also. That is not the case. When we talk about 18% of growth or something, it's every company has their own way. Some of the companies in quarter one last year have been dip on the numbers where we might be stronger. What we see is that ultimately we have to see the growth on AUM. That 25-30% we will be able to deliver this year, and that's our prerogative going forward. So that is the something we have to look at overall.
Got it, got it. So just to understand this, and that's my last question, that we will see accelerated growth in disbursements in Q2 and Q3 going ahead, right? Because of the policy change, there will be a lot of spillover that happens.
So that is obvious. But ultimately, when you see, keep comparing disbursement or growth on quarter on quarter, you'll always find, you know, something because of some other reason or something like that. Ultimately, you have to see overall how the book is growing. So if your book is growing 25-30% annually, you are reaching to the target what you have taken care, taken in mind for both long term and short term.
Okay, got it, got it. Thank you so much and best of luck.
A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Mayank Mistry with Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, mainly, sir, one data keeping question first. What would be your disbursement number on a year-on-year basis with the new recognition method, just to compare, you know, on a like-to-like basis? Because we see this disbursement growth has slowed down, as earlier participants have also highlighted. So this number I would like to know on a year-on-year basis.
It's around 18%. That we
spoke
just now.
So
it's around 18%, as we mentioned just now.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And secondly, sir, currently 99% of your sourcing is in-house. Any plans to diversify this and, you know, add DSA or connectors maybe to further reduce the impact of increasing base, which may moderate the growth number, you know, gradually that we are observing over, you know, last year. So since your guidance have now decreased from 30% to now, you know, 25% to 30%, and maybe with the increasing base, this number will is expected to further go down. That's what we anticipate. So, yeah, so that's my question on, you know, on this whole system.
So we feel affordable model that we created that is more suited when we do direct touch with customers largely on the field. That's why the branches number, which is, you know, spread across so many states and so many numbers particularly. And the process is where the customer has to meet multiple times. That process is something, you know, we have tested for many, many years, and we are quite confident about this process particularly. So this question keeps getting raised again and again. So I always answer this way. If tomorrow we have to open any of these fees, that has to be independent, separate channel. That cannot be part of this fee particularly. So whenever, you know, that has to come up, not as a part of your open channel in the same market, to the same teams. It has to be independent on that piece and on a keeping in mind the objectives or that product basically. Because in this category of product, customer may not have an ITR, they have a very informal income. But for that category, it has to open. We feel it has to have a different mechanism of underwriting and obviously different mechanism of sourcing. So we are not going to indulge that process on contact side. But yes, whenever we start it, we'll be the first to give an idea that how the things are building around that side particularly.
Okay, so no plans to, you know, change our sourcing mix, sir?
So exactly, if we start it, we'll be the first to come up basically on that side. So for this piece, we are not going to touch anything. We keep exploring, seeing the market, which is the best things tool working available for us, whether it's in the technology, whether in the other side. But whenever it happens, we'll be the first to come on the call and mention that this is the way something we're trying to build around now.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Mohak Batra with Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Good morning and thank you for taking my question. For this quarter, we have seen, you know, build-up of stress for us, which is something we have not seen in the industry otherwise. Like MFI is doing well and competition has also done better. So if everyone else is doing well, like why is the problem for us specifically? So is it something internal that we are only witnessing?
I think there is nothing internal that we should read among the lines. We have increased collection team to large extent to, you know, scattered across geographies around 2-3 quarters back, as we keep finding that there's a market trend where, you know, overall discussion is happening around that piece. MFI was a case which happened around 1.5-2 years back, and it spread for around 1 year particularly. Self-employed is again the set of customers which were having some stress around that piece from last 1.5 years basically. So obviously now along with that, this is the first quarter, which is normally seasonal impact. So I think since our book, which is 85%, which is into self-employed, and on a smaller ticket size, this stress is, which is there around that piece. But we simply said that in a quarter to quarter, you easily find the results coming according to that side basically. So there is no point of reading that there is something internally getting built or something around that side.
Got it. And just a follow-up on that, like how will collection efficiency behave in Q2 then?
If you talk about GNPA number, it is going to be hovering on the numbers which we have maintained in quarter one. Obviously, 30 DPD you will find start coming down eventually because the way you put the controls, it starts giving reflection in next quarter. But GNPA takes almost a quarter or 2 quarters to start giving the result because of surface issues, surface points and all particularly. So in quarter three, you will also start finding that the surface activities also start giving the result around that side. This is the way forward particularly. So quarter two, numbers of the GNP should remain around the same level, which we are working on. Quarter three, start finding the reduction around that side.
Got it. And how is July behaving specifically?
July, we talk about if 1 plus, 30 plus, that numbers almost remain same. That is a clear idea how the thing can shape up in future.
Got it. Thank you. That was the question from my end.
The next question comes from the line of Sonal Gandhi with Asian Market Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. So my first question was on this recognition of interest income. So just some clarity over there. Is what you're trying to see is that even you know, post the chit handover thing happened about 1.5 or 2 years back, you started recognizing interest income on check realization basis only, and that is why there is no impact in this quarter. Is that understanding correct?
Yeah. So your understanding is correct. You know, when this regulation came in May 2024, we have moved our disbursement booking from, you know, loan booking to check handover. And move our interest booking from loan booking to like disbursement clearance. So technically, when we see there is an impact on the reported numbers, but there is no impact on the interest income.
Okay. And just one more question. You know, what is the difference or timing difference between check handover and check realization?
So it depends on the product. You know, if it is like a, you know, like a purchase like purchase of property, then, you know, sometimes the TAT also depends on state to state. That which state has a, you know, how much TAT with respect to the like title registration. So if the title is getting registered in 15 days, the TAT is 15 days. In few of the states, you know, due to change in some processes, sometimes the TAT got slightly higher. So that's why, you know, it varies state to state and sometimes product to product as well. If it is a BT out case, then, you know, you are like BT in case, that you have handed over the check, then the new institution has to like accept it. Probably it may happen in 10-12 days, but if it is a month end, probably that institution may take around 15-20 days as well.
And in few states, the registered mortgage is set to be executed. So all this depends upon product, state, location, how the SRO is reacting in terms of getting registration done. So there can be many nuances. And all these things leads to complexity where, you know, you have handed over the check but you are not having a sure about when it's going to realization, and ultimately it was not impacting in terms of your you know, interest income. So we thought let's take a one-time decision on that piece, And quarter one is always conducive because you have entire year to work and make the things more normalized and processes becoming more effective on that.
Got it. So, sir, what I understand is it would vary anywhere between 15 to 20, 25 days. So, is it fair to assume that, you know, whatever the loss was, should be recouped in July? Because maybe some spillover from July to August, but ultimately it should get recovered in second quarter.
So, point is, June wala will do in July. July piece will go to August. August will go to September because whatever you're doing in July, you're going to get realization in August. August will do get in September. This has moved on, but yes, there will be impact of improving many things around that piece basically. So, ultimately, there will be normalization which is going to happen, but it will take 2-3 quarters to remain there. And irrespective of that, these our numbers will remain intact. That is exactly what we want to convey here as a message.
Okay, got it. Also, you know, you have this product of semi-fixed, semi-variable rate of interest on home loans. So I believe this started like about a year, year and a half back. And this was a 3-year product. So, you know, when do we see that the first tranche, you know, from that product would come, you know, for change in yields, you know, probably moving from fixed yields to variable yields? And also, what is the rate of interest, you know, that you charge on fixed, you know, what is your fixed rate of interest and what is your variable rate of interest?
Sure. So, like, we started, you know, disbursement under a semi-variable product in somewhere in January 24. So, the first lot for reset will come, like, in Q4 of this financial year that we will be doing. But as far as, you know, if you look at the reset terms, so the loan will get will not get reset on the like on like January 27 itself. The loan rate will remain same and the spread will get like adjusted to the like current terms. So like if the loan if the customer has availed the loan at 15% and our so like variable benchmark was so like 17%. So when the reset will come, the loan rate will remain same and the spread will get defined as 2% in that scenario. So there is no impact is going to come because of ongoing, you know, interest rate environment on the reset date itself. And we have currently okay. About 50% of our book in variable rate. 35% of the book is in semi-variable rate and 50% of the book is at fixed rate. We feel that on a, you know, like medium term basis, even if the reset will come from semi-variable to variable book, the overall variable rate book will not will remain in the range of 15 to 20% only.
Sorry, I missed. What is the rate of interest between fixed rate of interest and variable rate of interest?
Yeah, so fixed rate to variable rate, there is a gap of about 50 basis point, which we generally, you know, feel that customer is acceptable, you know, while we offer the rate in terms of variable and offer the rate in terms of fixed rate, customer acceptability remains to like accept a premium of 50 basis points for a fixed rate product.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, that's it from my side. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Renish Bhua with ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Just a small, you know, clarification. So you are saying we have already disbursed 400 crore, you know, in July, and obviously, you know, as we go along, you know, in rest of the FY27, you know, things, you know, will improve only. So if, even if we go by this 100, let us say in Q2 itself, you know, we'll be doing around 1,200 crore, 25% around disbursement growth. So are we confident that, you know, this kind of growth on the disbursement side is visible at this point in time, you know, specifically because last year all 3-4 quarters our disbursement growth was, you know, slightly muted or around 11-12%. So just wanted to get some clarity that the run rate which we saw in July is sustainable. And maybe from here on, there will be only improvement on month-on-month basis.
Renishi, I think number speaks itself. We always been very clear when we talk about the growth. So,
okay.
If we are able to deliver more than 20%, will be easily able to maintain 25-30% of AUM growth. That model says so particularly. So same way, we see the July number. Yes, this is the number what we're talking about, around 400-ish. And I think 1200 is quite, you know, reachable in that way. So that doesn't look a difficult piece particularly when we talk about quarter two. And after quarter two, quarter three is always go on a betterment way basically. Right?
Yeah, that's
so all. So the number that quarter three is going to what level, I think it will be a little proactive approach and forward looking. So, but yes, everyone knows quarter three is better than quarter two in all the optics particularly. So if quarter two is 1200, then eventually it has to go up. That is the number one all around basically. So our thought remains consistent that for the year 25-30% of AUM growth has to be there, and these are the basic fundamentals on which we are, you know, talking about. Because most of the people are considering quarter one multiplier by four. That doesn't happen in mortgage business, which we should have a cognizant of. That is one side. Secondly, ultimately the franchise is about, you know, doing this set of customers into this category, maintaining 17-18% of ROE. In first quarter itself, we have delivered around 17.5% of ROE. That gives an idea which direction things are going in that basically. So our main prerogative is maintain the credit cost of 40-50 basis, maintaining loan growth of 25-30%. And this is the all reiteration of our guidance that we keep giving for this financial year.
Got it. Got it. So this is very helpful, sir. Thank you and best of luck.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Nilesh with Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Please go ahead, Hello. Nilesh.
Yeah, hi. Hi, Rupendraji. Kaise hain? Good morning. Sir, ek question tha, in terms of, you know, the collection efficiency, right? If you can break that 97 from, say, between the months, like how did, starting with March, what was the collection efficiency in March and then for the next 3 months, how did it kind of pan out?
One second, guys. You could just give a few seconds.
So, like, if you look at the collection efficiency, first, you know, I would like to clarify that when we report our collection efficiency, it is on the entire, you know, loan portfolio. It's not, you know, generally we report it on a, like, current bucket or, like, DP, exclude the DPD buckets. So, it is on the entire loan portfolio.
I understand that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's available like, across, right? Means in terms of the previous disclosures also, right? Yeah.
Yeah, sure. So if you like, you know, break down the 97%, obviously, you know, so like April month was, you know, slightly slower, so like somewhere in the range of 96.2-96.4%. And then gradually
March
it started picking up.
March mein kitna?
March number NL generally used to exceed 100%. It used to be 101% because we, you know, closed, you know, lot of NPAs account at that point of time and realized lot of overdues as well. So March was about 101%. Then, you know, as the areas start building up, somewhere, you know, started from April, then the collection efficiency goes slightly down. And as we ended June, it's slightly better than 97%. But April was, you know, slightly lower.
So is this normal? Is this April different from the last April or the April that we've seen earlier? I mean, I'm just trying to think that, you know, 97 seems to be, you know, and if it's below 96, actually, around the 96, should have sounded alarm bells for the company, right, in terms of taking action and improving it. But it doesn't seem to be the case because we've been able to pull back only up to a certain extent. So I'm just trying to think that as a system, were we okay with that kind of a number? Or because this is unlike, as you know, my colleague and Umang also earlier asked, that this is very different from what the trends that we've seen across the system. So, which is where I think this question circles back to, is it more internal to us or was it like you're saying for the industry? Then maybe it's the industry, you know, equation, maybe we need to understand better here.
So, thank you, Nilesh. By industry, I don't know how they calculate, how they do it. The numbers are in front of you. So, when we see OPEC, April is normally very bleak. It was the last year also, it was a very bleak one. And almost same number was there, 96.2, 96.3, whatever. And June was 97.5 or something like that. Couple of months as you start, you know, strengthening the sales things. And then eventually, then quarter two will remain almost flattish by that time. And quarter three starts coming back basically. In fact, last year, quarter three was little disturbed. Quarter two was better comparatively, if you talk about. But what we feel that even if the flowing is happening there instead of curtailing, there is always better to, you know, make the tool most accessible for you basically. And on basis of that, what we are saying, that what has been thrown around, even if quarter two remains flat, typically on NP side, not on 30 plus, that we have to bring it down, obviously, because as the, you know, things start improving that side, quarter three, you start getting the result around that piece. So when you talk about April this year to last year, you'll not find much of a difference. Almost it is there, basically. In terms of efficiency.
No, so, Rupendra, so basically, we, you know, if you look at, say, last couple of years, right? I understand last Q3 26 was where we saw a sharp increase, and you had called that out, you know, so that is fine. But typically, as things kind of progress, say, into Q2, we have seen over the last couple of years, at least you know, since the data that we have listed data, that there is an inch up in stage 2 and stage 3, right? So that you know, forward flow kind of continues, and so this time what you're saying that, you know, the stage 3 should be steady as as the Q1 level, so it should not increase. Q1. Is that the message that you give?
Yes. And in
Q2, the
trends
that we've seen earlier, right?
Yes. So Q2, you'll find stage 3 remaining almost same with what we've seen in Q1. And stage 2 may be slightly less, but I'm saying let it assume that it be on the same level basically. And then Q3 will start getting the, you know, results along that.
Okay, so why would it be different this time compared to the last time, given that, is it because that we've seen a sharper jump in Q1, which is an anomaly compared to what we've seen earlier?
Absolutely, these are the mechanisms work basically. So ultimately, if you try to hold in first bucket or something like that, and you know the customer is stressed, he can pay one EMI particularly. But once he move on, then you have a recourse around that side basically, which works in that sense. Because expecting a 3 EMI from bucket 3 customers is always, you know, something not easy overnight. Very few customers are able to do that piece.
No, I understand that. But, you know, how is it going to be different compared to the previous trend? So is,
because if you see last year it remained constant for Q1, Q2, right? And Q3 has taken a spurt. This time, the spurt has come in Q1. And Q3 is going to remain muted like Q1, and then Q3 start getting results.
Okay, so stage 2 will see an increase, or that will also remain flat?
That will remain flattish. In fact, our progressive internal is something different, but I think assume it will remain flat.
Okay. And so the reason I'm asking that, you know, from 50 bips, today we've hit Q1 at 50 bips on credit cost. So that should not go up to 60 bps and then kind of see a sharp jump in a sharp drop in Q4, right? I mean, was there a possibility of that happening, or it kind of holds on at the 50 bps, assuming the other ones stay where they are?
For the year, it is to be 40-50 bps. For this quarter, we are trying for 50 bps only and should be 50 bps. That is the thought.
Oh, perfect. Okay, great. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Shreepal Doshi with Equirus Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. My question was on the was on the yield and cost of fund side. So incremental cost of fund has remained stable at 7.9%. However, the incremental yield has gone up by 30 basis points. So what explains this? And also wanted to understand what percent of our liabilities and asset is variable and you know, fixed rate. Thank you.
Sir, please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah. So I was saying that that, you know, on the yield side, as we are seeing, you know, tightness in the macros, you know, discussion on the, you know, on the borrowing side are happening at a slightly, you know, higher cost of fund. You know, bankers are asking 20-25 basis point higher cost of fund. Discussions are stretching longer. But, you know, we expect that the overall impact on the cost of fund will remain limited to 10 basis point. Keeping that in mind, you know, we have already started passing on the, like, incremental disbursement. So that's how you are seeing, you know, some impact on the, on the incremental disbursement yield. Those are running at 14.9%, higher than about 20-30 basis point as compared to what it was in Q4. So that's how we are saying that there will not be any impact on the overall spreads, even if there is some impact on the cost of fund that may come in the H2 because of ongoing tightness in the back rows.
Okay.
And coming to the, you know, segregation of the portfolio, we have about 15% of our portfolio which is at variable rate, and about 35% portfolio is at a semi-variable rate, and 50% is completely fixed.
And on the liability side?
On the liability side, if you see, about 20% of our liabilities are at fixed rate. Then we have some repo link, T-bill link funding of about 33%, and rest of the fundings are linked to MCLR or PLR of the banks.
So MCLR would be to what, 1 month, 3 month, or 12 months?
So generally, if you see 3 months, largely a large part of the funding is linked to 3 month, 6 month kind of MCLR. One year, you know, MCLR is limited to like borrowings that we have made about 2 years back. That would be about 10% of the total borrowing.
Got it. So just a follow-up on your comments on the increase in the incremental yield. So we've taken a PLR hike already and have passed it on to the customers, is it so?
So PLR hike is a function of, you know, our overall cost of fund. In fact, we have passed on the benefit of about 10 basis points in Q4 to our existing variable rate customers. Since there is no change in our bucket cost of fund, there is no change in the PLR. But having regard to the tightness in the market, we have passed on some impact to the incremental disbursement that we are making.
Got it, sir. Okay. Thank you so much for answering my questions.
The next question comes from the line of Meghna Luthra with InCred Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I just had two quick questions. One is on the disbursement front. What would be a breakup between LAP and home loans? Also a similar like-for-like number last quarter. And on gross stage 3, a similar breakup in LAP and home loans.
Sir, home loan ratio is about, as a percentage of AUM, is close to 57%, and it is stable year-on-year basis. And if you look at the GNP number between home loan and LAP, it is pretty much similar. So like if the home loan is at about 1.48, LAP is about 1.52. So there is not much gap in our delinquency between home loan and LAP. And that is, you know, because of a couple of reasons. In case of LAP, we also do, you know, self-occupied residential properties. LTVs are, you know, quite controlled in the LAP. Average LTVs are at about 45%. So those things help us in maintaining a better delinquency in the LAP portfolio as well.
And sir, disbursement breakup between home loan and LAP?
That is the number. So if there is no change in our overall AUM number, that is remaining at around 57%. So disbursement number is also running at in the similar number, wherein 57% disbursement happening in home loan and remaining 43% in LAP.
Got it. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will take that as the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for the closing remarks.
Yeah, thank you everyone for taking your valuable time for attending our earnings call. Audio recording and the transcript of this call will be uploaded on our website in due course. Looking forward to hosting you all in the next quarter. If you have any further questions or require additional information, please feel free to reach us out. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of ICICI Securities Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.